grab your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, or your smartphone, however you turn there. I am going to put the scriptures up on the board up here, the PowerPoint. You can take notes on the back of your bulletin there. If you're taking notes, you can just write down 1 through 5, because I've actually got five things that I'm not going to call them points, just five things I want to share with you today about this. And this is a series that we've been doing here at the church. And this is the third part of this series called Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And like I said, this is the third part of this series, because I started this several months ago, I think a couple of months ago, and we've had Easter and everything going on. Before we get into this word today and we get into Romans chapter 3, and you can also turn, I always like to have you turn to a New Testament scripture and an Old Testament scripture, so you can also turn to Isaiah chapter 32 as well. But I do want to make mention of this, because the last Sunday of every month, y'all know that I teach on Bible prophecy, end times around here. This is the first Sunday of the month. I do want to make mention of this. I'm not teaching on the solar eclipse today, okay? But we've all heard about it. It's happening tomorrow. And I want to tell you that it is a sign. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the sign it's going to point to. I shouldn't say that. I know the sign that it's pointing to is Jesus is coming back pretty soon. All right? We all need to get lined up. But I do want to caution everybody. As your pastor, I want to caution you on this. There are a lot of, self-proclaimed prophets on YouTube. And there's a lot of fear-mongering going on. And I just don't subscribe to any of that kind of stuff, okay? But I want you to know, as your pastor, it is a sign. And the sign is this. What everybody's going to be doing tomorrow, what are they going to be doing? They're going to be looking up. And the scriptures, Luke 21, verse 28, where Jesus is teaching on the end times, and he said, look up because your redemption draws near. I pray that that's what they're doing and that they have an understanding of that. But, and Clark and I were talking about that this morning, there is a lot of sun worship going on. You're going to hear a lot about sun worship tomorrow. We don't worship the sun, S-U-N. We worship the sun, S-O-N, Jesus. Amen. And so I just want to say that to you. Another scripture is Genesis 1:14, that one of the things, a lot of times people think that God put the sun and the moon for seasons. He did, but when you read Genesis 1, verse 14, the first thing that he did, he put them where they're at today, is for signs, okay? And so just a little bit of a teaching here, because I got to tell you this as your pastor, but the sun, the reason back in the Old Testament, the Jewish people go by the lunar calendar, okay, the Hebrews. They go by the lunar calendar, the moon cycle, and all of that. And the reason why they do that is because they wanted to be separated from the world, because back then the world worshipped the sun. And so that's why there's that separation there. Whenever you hear about blood moons and the moon and all that kind of stuff, that's a sign to the Jewish people. The sun is a sign to the world. And I'm just going to say this, a lot of the eclipses we don't know about because they happen out over the ocean. But this one's happening over the United States of America. The last one that happened over the United States of America was in 2017. And if you study that, where they cross is like an X marks the spot. So this is a sign to our nation that we better wake up and we better support Israel. I'm just going to say that as your pastor. That's the wake-up call that we all need. But the wake-up call, look up because our redemption draws near. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back very soon. So make sure you're ready and that your family is ready and those in your sphere of influence are ready to meet Jesus. And everybody said, amen. All right, there's your teaching on the eclipse. Amen. All right, so fight the good fight of faith. And the first scripture, I know I told you to turn to Romans chapter 3, and I'll put this up here. Is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. And it says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness. Everybody say, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. And then he says, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Now, the reason why I'm focusing on this is the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, his protege, he's telling him, I want you to fight the good fight of faith. He doesn't say, I want you to learn how to fight the devil. He doesn't say, I want you to learn how to fight the flesh. He says, I want you to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. So if Satan can hold us in the arena of reason in our minds, he can defeat us every time. But if we can hold him in the arena of faith, we will defeat him every time. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So the faith fight is the only fight we're supposed to be in. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, right? But how we fight against them is through our faith. If we're in any other fight, then we're in the wrong fight. You're not fighting against your flesh today. We're supposed to crucify our flesh. We're not fighting against the world today. The Bible says that we overcome the world by our faith. We're not fighting against the devil today, because if we know the Word of God, he was defeated 2,000 years ago. But so how we appropriate his defeat is by faith. We got this: the just live by faith. That was in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But one of our greatest enemies to faith is lack of understanding. Lack of knowledge of God's Word produces unbelief, and you can't believe beyond your knowledge of God's Word. Psalms 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And that's what Jade and I prayed this morning on the way here, is that when all of us, including myself, when we hear the Word of God today, it's going to give us light, and it's going to give us understanding. And everybody said amen. Now, this is the six parts that we've been going through. Understanding the new birth, we talked about that. Understanding our place in Him, we talked about that last time. And today we're going to talk about number three, is understanding righteousness. And then we're going to talk about understanding our legal right to the name of Jesus, understanding how to act on God's Word, and understanding our confession. But today we're going to talk about understanding righteousness. Now, I'm going to tell you what the problem is with everyone here today. Every one of us here today, because we were born with an Adamic nature, okay, the book of Genesis, the fall of man, that's how we were born, okay? We were born with this Adamic, sinful nature. So man has a highly developed sin consciousness, a spirit inferiority complex, a sense of condemnation, guilt, and unworthiness that dominates us. Man is doubt-ruled. All man has is a sense-knowledge faith that cannot know God nor find him, and this is man. And when I say man, I'm talking about the ladies too, mankind, right, ladies? Okay, if we have to be the bride of Christ, you can be a man too, okay? So that's how, now, we were created male and female, okay? All right, we won't go down that. So this is man as he is. We must be born from above to overcome that. We must be born again. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why we celebrated the cross and the burial and the resurrection last Sunday. We celebrate that every Sunday that we come together. But what I'm going to teach you today, and I'm still, as your pastor, I'm still getting revelation on this to this day, okay? But what I'm going to teach you today is what they call the Pauline revelation, or it's what the Apostle Paul's revelation was to the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Now, I want to tell you something about the Apostle Paul, and I want you to remember this. The Bible says that he killed Christians. So he had to overcome that in his mind. And I'm going to show you how he did it, okay? He didn't, and this is how he did it. He didn't teach, when he wrote letters to the churches that he founded, and when he went and preached and taught to them and taught them the Word of God, he didn't teach them about sin. Now hold on. Somebody's like, ooh. He did, okay? He pointed it out. He would definitely point it out. He would tell them, you know, somebody's sleeping with their, I mean, he would point that stuff out. If you don't believe me, go read 1 and 2 Corinthians, okay? He would point that stuff out. He would point the sin out. But his main thing that he taught on was this. Paul would teach his congregations, he taught them about righteousness in Jesus. Because he knew this, if I can get them out of under the condemnation of sin, then I can lead them into liberty where their faith in Jesus can function. And that's what he did most of the time. Now, he would point out the sin, And here's the deal, guys. We're all sinners and falling short of the glory of God. Amen? All right. So you're not going to come to church today and get your weekly spanking from the pastor, because we all know that we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What I want to teach you is righteousness, how you can overcome sin in your life, and so that your faith will work Monday through Saturday. Amen? For the rest of the week. So that's my burden today as your pastor. So a lack of understanding of what righteousness is and what privileges righteousness gives to the believer holds more Christians in bondage than any other thing. In my opinion, righteousness is one of the most misunderstood subjects in the Bible. And it really is. And I'm going to encourage you, if you struggle in this area, and we all do, you need to study the book of Romans. Because the theme of the book of Romans is the showing of God's ability to set man right with him, to declare him righteous, and to make him righteous so that man can stand in the Father's presence without the sense of guilt. If we can get this revelation, guys, you're going to go lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. If you get this revelation, you'll be able to cast out demons. Amen? If you get this revelation. If you don't get this revelation, when you encounter somebody in your household that's sick, let's call the pastor because he's more righteous than me. No, he's not. You're just as righteous as the pastor. I'm a pastor because of duty and responsibility from him. Doesn't make me any more righteous than you. You're just as righteous if you just got born again today than the Apostle Paul. You're just as righteous as he is. Now, you may have not developed that, and you may not have that faith developed yet, but as soon as righteousness, I'm getting ahead of myself, but righteousness is a gift from God. Sometimes, and I'm getting ahead of myself, so I got to stop, all right? So here we go. So when I told you to turn to Romans chapter 3 and Isaiah 32, the book of Romans teaches us how God restored righteousness to us on the grounds of faith in Jesus Christ. Righteousness comes to us by way of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the best definition I can tell you about righteousness. If you want a short definition, righteousness means right standing with God. But I'm going to add to it a little bit. Right standing with God without the sense of condemnation, guilt, inferiority, shame, sin consciousness, or unworthiness. That you can stand in the presence of God without any of that. And I know some of you are saying, Pastor Mark, can we really do that? Yes, you can if you have a revelation of righteousness. It takes this revelation, and you're going to get it by faith. Now, Romans chapter 3, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation, and the reason why I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation came from the Living Bible. There's another translation from the Living Bible. And if you've ever studied this, Kenneth Taylor was the one that came up with this translation of the Bible. And the reason why he did it is because he wanted to get a translation so his children could understand the gospel. So we're all children of God here this morning, amen? So this is why I want to read this very simple translation of Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. It says, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, Jew or Gentile. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. And for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin, people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus." Guys, that is, we could just say yes and amen and go home right there. But as you know, Pastor Mark, I want to take you a little bit further into this, okay? The whole book of Romans, if you struggle with understanding righteousness, I just want to encourage you to read the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul almost touches on this almost in every letter that he writes to the churches, because he wanted people to get this revelation. Here's number one, the five things I want to share with you about righteousness. Number one, there are two kinds of righteousness. There's head righteousness and heart righteousness. And what we're after is heart righteousness, that you believe it in your heart. And then it'll get to your head. But a lot of people just believe it in their head and they don't have it here. And I'm going to show you this. Jesus talked about this. In Matthew 5, verse 20, Jesus told his disciples, and he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The scribes and the Pharisees were religious people. Most of them, if not all of them, had the first five books of the Bible memorized. But they missed Jesus, because it was all up here in their head. And then they walked around. Knowledge, without it being here, if knowledge is up here, the Bible says knowledge will puff you up, makes you prideful. So they were very prideful people, because they walked around and everybody else was beneath them, because they knew the word better than everybody else. And we're righteous and you're little peons. That's how they treated everybody. And Jesus told his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, you won't. And they're like, oh my gosh, we don't know the five books of the Bible. You know, they're like, they're righteous, we're not. And God, Jesus saying, no, they're not. Because it's all up here and it's not down here. Because if it was down here, they would see me, because I'm right here in front of them. Everybody get that? Romans 10:10 says this, and this is how Abraham received righteousness even in the Old Testament. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 that he believed. And then it says it was accounted to him for righteousness. Accounting is the thing that we don't like to hear. It's a math term, you know, accounting. And what we all have is a sin debt. Amen? And Jesus said, I'm going to account you righteous. He said, I'm going to remove your sin. I'm going to cleanse you from sin. And in your account, I'm going to put righteousness. And it's a gift. It's a gift. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see, it's not about the mind. It's with the heart that one believes unto righteousness. Everybody get that? Get the separation of the two kinds of righteousness? There's two kinds of righteousness. There's head righteousness and heart righteousness, and we want the heart righteousness. Amen. All right, here's number two. Righteousness is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't attain it. I'm even going to say this. You don't even grow into it. It's a gift. You develop it with the knowledge of it and understanding of it, but you're just as righteous today as the day when you go to heaven. It's getting really quiet in here. You're just as righteous today. Now, we grow in the fruits of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, but God is the one that gifted us righteousness, and he said, I made you righteous. You don't grow in it. Righteousness, now, you might be saying, well, you know, what about righteous behavior and righteous conduct? That comes out of your knowledge of understanding that you're made righteous in Jesus. I serve Jesus because he made me righteous. I don't serve Jesus so he'll make me righteous. Does that make sense? Okay. Everybody follow me? So this is Romans 5, verse 17. It says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, talking about Adam, much more will those who receive the abundance of the grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So there it is. It's a free gift. It's the gift of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You're going to become the righteousness of God when you get this revelation. So we don't attain it. We don't earn it. We don't even grow into it. It's a gift. There's a story that I came across, and I thought this was really good to help you understand this, is Kenneth E. Hagin was teaching on righteousness in a church that he was ministering in, and he asked a man, he was asking the pastor, he said, is there a man here in church that everybody thinks it's righteous? And they said, well, it's our Sunday school superintendent. This guy, man, he is here anytime the doors are open. He's always, you know, he's well known in the community. If there's anybody in our church that's a righteous man, it's this guy. And so He said, okay, because I've got a little example. I'm going to use him as an illustration. He said, sure enough, he goes, I'm up there and I'm teaching about righteousness, and this man comes in. He's on the front row, and he's taking notes. He said, and during my message, he goes, I asked the man, I said, are you righteous? Are you righteous, sir? And this man says, well, I'm trying to be. And he said, and I took this, and he goes, and I don't mean this wrong, but he said, sir, are you a man or a woman? And he said, I'm a man. And then Kenneth Hagin asked him, said, how did you get that way? And he said, well, I was born that way. And he says, that's the same way that you get righteousness. You're born that way. You're born again with that gift. You're righteous. And everybody said, amen. Okay, here's number three. I'm going to start showing you some benefits of understanding righteousness. When you really get this understanding, when you get this revelation, you're going to understand that your prayers are heard and answered just like the Pope and just like Pastor Mark. I'm not more righteous than you are. The Pope is not, a title does not make someone righteous. What makes someone righteous is if they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So your prayers are heard and answered just like anybody else. Number two is if you get this understanding and this revelation, you're going to learn how to reign in this life. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to have problems and issues come up and the enemy doesn't attack you and all those kind of things, but you're going to learn how to reign over that. Amen. You're going to learn how to overcome that. And then you're going to understand that you are forgiven with no condemnation, guilt, or shame attached to it. So here's James 5:16. It says, the effective prayer of a righteous person has great power. You do that. You have that. Every one of you in here are ministers of the gospel. Amen. So you have just as much righteousness as anybody else. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your prayers are effective, and you've got to believe that by faith. And I'm going to tell you a story. As I was studying this week, and I read a book. If some of you like to study, I know there's a book by E.W. Kenyon that's called The Two Kinds of Righteousness. It's a really good book to read about righteousness and study this as well to go along with the book of Romans. But as I was studying this week for today's message, I was thinking, God, when did you start talking to me about righteousness? I mean, I got born again, but then when did I start getting the revelation? And I'm still growing in it, even though I'm not going to be any more righteous tomorrow than I am today. It's a revelation that just keeps unfolding, all right? And so the Lord brought to my mind something that happened when I first came into ministry, and I had somebody from the congregation. I was just on staff, wasn't a pastor. I was just a staff pastor at this church that I served in, wasn't the senior pastor. But I had a lady call me that she wanted me to come and bless her home. And of course, and I'll do that for anybody here, by the way. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do that. And so I went to her house, and I looked up, I studied about blessing a home, and, you know, I thought I had a really good prayer. You know, I had it all wrote out, and I'm like, I'm going to go in here, and I'm going to bless her home. And I blessed her home, and she thanked me, and I left. And I thought, man, Lord, I did a great thing there, you know, and really blessed and ministered to this lady. Well, then later on, just a few weeks later, I heard this lady had asked somebody else to come and bless her house. And I'm going to tell you right now, that really ticked me off. I'm just going to tell you right now. I was like, what, she didn't think I was righteous enough? What is going on, you know? And then I found out, you know, I did a little investigation behind the scenes. I didn't go to her, should have went to her. And I'm just telling off on myself. And I knew the man that she had got to go, because he was one of a prayer elder in our church. And she'd called him a few weeks or like a week later to come and bless her house. And then she proceeded to tell him that I did it all wrong. And she said, Mark came here and prayed a beautiful prayer, but he didn't anoint anything in my house with oil. And James chapter 5 says to anoint everything with, you know, to anoint with oil, right? So, and it does. And we have oil here to anoint people, right? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, I missed it over oil, right? I mean, and I'm getting offended. I'm getting hurt. I'm like, she doesn't think I'm righteous. And so I took it up with the Lord, and I was like, Lord, and God began to, he goes, Mark, do you know my son? Yes. Do you believe that you went in faith and prayed that prayer? Yes. Then he said, and then God told me, he said, Mark, I heard that prayer. And it was a righteous prayer. But you have to believe that. And I don't care who tells you that you didn't pray a righteous prayer. You've got to believe. You just go on with, you know, forgive them and go on. And then he went on to tell me, and he said, and Mark, this is the revelation that I need you to start understanding and teaching people, because that lady is more righteous than you and that other guy for praying over her own home, if you want to look at it that way, because she doesn't understand the authority that she has as a believer. She needs to be taught that. Yeah, it's one thing, and I'll go and bless anybody's home as well, but you, I'm just going to say this to everybody here today. You have, if I can say this, you have more authority over your home than I do, because that's your sphere of influence. And I'm gonna share something else here in just a second. So this is when the Lord really began. I had to get over being offended and forgive her and all. And it was really, to be honest with you, she just had never been taught about righteousness either in anything. And she just thought, man, I've got to have all this stuff lined up, prayer, faith, and oil, everything just right, or it's not going to work, right? And God just needs you available and to pray a prayer of faith and know that you're righteous and God hears your prayer. This is Romans 5, verse 17 here. And it says, that's talking about your prayers are heard and answered. Romans 5, 17 says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life. Everybody say reign in life. And that's not R-A-I-N, that's R-E-I-G-N, which is a kingdom term. God wants you to reign like a king and a queen over your life through this one man, Jesus Christ. So here's the deal, guys. You can reign in life right now. And I'm going to say this, and this, I hope somebody doesn't get offended in here. But a lot of the songs and the old hymns that we sing, it puts off raining until we get to heaven. When we all get to heaven, it puts it off till then. God wants us, and thank God for those songs, and I love those songs. But God wants us to understand that we reign today. It's not when we get to heaven. He wants us to start reigning today. You're just as righteous today as you are when you enter into heaven. Okay? So a lot of our songs and hymns put off raining. You have authority in the name of Jesus right now. Last Sunday, if you were here last Sunday, I said something that wasn't in my notes, and afterwards I had a young mother come up to me, and she said, I'm so glad that you said that, because I did that last week, and she told me this story, and it was Rachel, and it's Robin's daughter, and she said, my son, because I was talking about you have authority in your own home, and one of the things that the enemy will attack is your children, and you've got to teach them at a young age to start knowing, and we're going to talk about this next Sunday, but how to use the name of Jesus. And so she was telling me about what happened with Crash, and he had a nightmare, and he even saw some things in his bedroom. And he was telling his mother about this, and she told him, we prayed together, and, you know, and the stuff has stopped now. And I said, I was so proud of her, and I said, Rachel, I'm so proud of you, because you understand the authority that you have in the name of Jesus over your own household. And you use that authority and stop the enemy right then. And it stopped him. Amen? So you have that authority in the name of Jesus, and you have it right now. You don't have to know all the Word of God, okay? Everybody thinks, well, if I just knew more of the Word of God, I'd have authority. No, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have authority in His name. He has given it to you. Yeah, He wants you to study and keep learning the Word of God, but you have authority right now. You have righteousness right now, and He wants you to reign in this life. Okay, now I'm going to shift gears, and I'm going to say, well, you know, Pastor Mark, what happens? I'm a Christian. I believe in righteousness. I am righteous. I understand that through Jesus and everything, but you know what? I still mess up. How many of you still mess up and sin in here? Oh, yeah, me too, and I'm going to tell about a few of these things. And there's a scripture that is near and dear to my heart, because one of the things that I struggle with from time to time is anger. There's what you call a righteous anger, and now I'm talking about unrighteous anger. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to have righteous anger. It's a whole other thing to have unrighteous anger, okay? So this is the scripture. James 1, verses 19 through 20, that the Lord has to remind me of often. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I've got that reversed a lot of times. I am slow to hear and quick to speak and quick to anger. For the anger of man, look at this, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I'm going to tell you two things, and I'm going to tell off on myself today because I know this is kind of a heavy subject today a little bit, all right? But there's two areas where the Lord really convicts me in this, and it's traffic and ball games can send me into an unrighteous anger like you've never seen before, okay? Traffic and ball games. I'm going to tell off on one in a ball game or a couple in a ball game. There was a ball game at Swasu when Taya was at Southwestern playing softball. And I'm telling you the truth. I'm transparent. I'm the confessions of the pastor today. I'm at this ball game. I look around. There ain't nobody from Leedy here. Okay, y'all didn't get that. You'll get that here in just a second. There's nobody from Leedy here. But this umpire is getting on my last nerve, and he's fixing to hear about it. Because he had a strike zone like this for my daughter. And, of course, my daughter's pitching, all right? And his strike zone was like this. And it was walk after walk after walk and then home run, you know, and double off the wall and all this stuff. And I sit back there and I took it as long as I did, as I could. And then all of a sudden, unrighteous anger started happening. And I started hollering at this umpire and letting him know what I thought about his strike zone. And the more I hollered, you know what, the closer it shrunk down. You know, he wasn't listening to me. And it was just, unrighteous anger was just boiling in me. And I'm hollering at him, and I'm hollering at him, and I'm hollering at him. And we end up losing the game. And of course, I'm blaming it on the umpire and kicking rocks. And my daughter gets the loss and all these things. And I go, we're in between games, and there's a guy that, and this guy, I'm just going to say this, because I'm talking about righteousness. This guy was more righteous than me because he even told me this afterwards. I just got to tell you the story. I go out into right field, and there's a dad out there in right field, one of the dads of the girls that plays with Taya. And he looks at me, and he's laughing. And he goes, golly, I love to hear a preacher all the way out into right field hollering at the umpire. And I'm telling you, conviction hit my heart, you know. And he's laughing about it. And he said, you know why? He goes, you know why I'm out in right field, Pastor? And I said, why? He said, because I do the same thing. And I learned if I'm out here, I can watch the game in ease and not get so involved. And I said, well, I may need to join you. That's more righteous than me. You know, I'm right up there behind the screen yelling at the umpire. Another time, and this is where, you know, and so then I have to repent. And, you know, and I'm going to talk about that here in just a second. From all that, and then there was another time, I'll never forget this, I was watching a game, and it was not going right, and I'm the unrighteous anger, and I'm hollering at Taya, and I'm hollering at the umpire, and Taya, at this particular game, Taya even, it was so bad, I'm just telling off on myself, confessions of a pastor, it was so bad that Taya this is at a college softball game, she comes around the side of the dugout, and I'm sitting up over here in the stands like this, and she gets over here and she goes, psst, dad, dad, like that. And I look down at her, and she goes, and that convicted me when your own daughter does that to you, right? And I was like, oh, God, Lord, I said, here's the deal. These umpires, they're stinking it up. Our coach don't even know what they're doing. They've got the wrong, you know, players in the wrong positions. You know, and my daughter right now is playing like her last name isn't Haney. Okay? And I'm just sitting there, and I'm telling the Lord this in my mind and in my heart. And I know I've shared this with y'all before, but I'm telling you more of the story to go with it. And at that moment, I said, Lord, forgive me for hollering at Taya, and I know that upset her, and I don't want to embarrass. That's the last thing I want to do as a parent is embarrass my daughter. And so I just said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, what are you doing right now? And I kid you not. I heard the Lord chuckle at me. And he said, Mark, I'm just sitting here enjoying the game, watching my kids play. I was like, well, that's just great. And I was just like, Lord, teach me how to just watch my kids play and not get so involved. And I'm hoping that helps, because I know this is a very competitive town. And so hopefully that helps you. And everybody said, amen. All right. 1 John 1, verse 9 says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this scripture, and I just want everybody to know this here, this scripture was not written to unbelievers or to sinners. This scripture was written to believers that were already Christians, because God knows that we're going to mess up even after we get saved. Amen? That doesn't mean that we have to get saved all over again. It just means that we need to, when the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will, if you're walking with the Lord, he will convict you. He won't condemn you. He will convict you. And when he does, that's when you confess. And then the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and not just to cover your sins, because we live in the New Testament. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, cleanses us. And so that's what you do. And I was like, Lord, I know that scripture, but help me to get this point across so that people understand this. Because a lot of people think that when I screw up, when I mess up, when I sin, when I holler at the umpire, when I do those kind of things, that God just kicks me out of his presence. Here's the deal. No, he doesn't. You're still in the presence of God. And here's the analogy that God gave me. Is you're talking about righteousness is right standing with God. He said, Mark, just when you sin, if you can just get this picture, all you do is sit down in my presence. You're still in my presence. You're still my son. You're just sitting down. But the moment you confess and I cleanse you from all unrighteousness, you can stand right back up. So I hope that helps somebody. God didn't kick you out of his presence and you got to get saved all over again next Sunday and water baptized again. Amen? You just got to know that scripture. You're right as his child, as his son and daughter. All you have to do is confess, repent, and get right back in the game. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number four, the fruit of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness. And this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Philippi, and he says, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And when I saw that, I was like, Lord, the fruit of righteousness. Now, what is the fruit of righteousness? And this is where I wanted you to turn to Isaiah chapter 32. The book of Isaiah is basically, Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet, but the book of Isaiah is basically the New Testament in the Old Testament. Isaiah had the revelation of the New Testament, all right, the New Covenant. And in Isaiah 32, verse 17, he says, the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Look at somebody and say, it'll be peace. And this peace is the peace that only God can give. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that this world doesn't give. It's a peace that God gives. And when you have that peace, you're not going around trying to prove yourself as a son or a daughter. You already know that you are. I'm not a pastor to prove myself that I'm a son. I'm a son whether I'm a pastor or not. And so I'm not running around trying to prove myself to anybody that I'm a Christian or I'm a son or I'm a daughter of God, if you're a daughter. I have this peace that I am secure in my relationship with the Father. And it's a peace that nobody can take away from me, not even the devil from hell himself. He can't take it away from me. And then it says, and its effect or its result will be quietness and confidence. Another translation says trust forever. You just, what it does to you when you get this revelation of righteousness and that you have this peace, it just produces, your soul is quiet, you're calm, you're peaceful, you're not anxious, you're not striving, you're not doing all those things. And then you just have this trust that, with God that just, and you have this trust forever. When you really let righteousness have its perfect work within you. Guys, that's good. That's worth coming to church this morning right there. And that's what God wants you to have. I will never forget my grandmother, Grandma Lita, was the one that prayed us all into the kingdom of God and prayed me in. And she, I'll never forget this, is right when I became a believer. Jade and I were getting ready for church one Sunday, and she had told Grandma, had called me, and she said, you need to read the book of Romans. She said, you need to read Romans chapter 8. And I said, okay, and I'll just encourage you to read it. Romans 8's great. And I was reading it, and Jade, I can still remember this. We were in our mobile home that we lived in, and you remember those mobile homes that had the master bathroom that had the garden tub in it? That's the kind of mobile home we had. And Jade was getting ready for church. I was already ready. You know how guys get ready quicker than the ladies. And so I'm sitting on the edge of the garden tub while she's putting makeup on, and I am reading her the Word of God. I'll never forget this. And I'm reading her Romans chapter 8. And I'm going along there, and I'm feeling like I'm a preacher, and I'm reading it. And I get to verse 16, and guys, I lost it. I broke down and started weeping because this scripture that I'm about to show you was not only revelation, it was happening in my life for the first time. And this is it. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And for the first time in my life, I had that inner witness that I'm a son of the Most High God. I didn't have any doubts about it. And it was so reassuring and so peaceful and just caused love. And you know what it also caused me to do? It also caused me to, I don't want to sin. That's great. When you really truly understand grace, grace is not a license to sin. Grace keeps me from sin because I love God so much. I don't want to sin against him. Here's the last thing, and I've kind of done a jet tour through righteousness through the Word of God. This could be a series. I may have to do it sometime, but I just kind of hit the highlights of righteousness that's all through the Word. And the last thing that I want to share with you is the crown of righteousness. And every one of you in here, if you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have this crown. And one of these days, we're all going to be before the throne of God, and the crown that you're going to throw at his feet is this one, because he's the one that gave it to you. And so I want to end with this scripture, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, and it says this. This is the Apostle Paul. And remember, we talked about the good fight of faith. This is right at the end of Paul's life, and he's in prison. And guys, I want you to understand, I just hope you can get this. I know we've been talking about righteousness, and it came through a man, the Apostle Paul, this revelation. And this man killed Christians before he became a believer, okay? And so this is a revelation that he had, like, not here, but here, of who he was in Christ. And this is what he said. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's what we're all doing today. We're in this fight of faith, keeping the faith, staying in the faith. And he says, henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Every one of us are going to have this crown when we come into the presence of God, and every one of us are going to throw it at his feet because he's the righteous one, and he's the one that makes us righteous. And it's this, it's a gift, guys. You don't attain it. You don't grow it. It's a gift. And everybody said, amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and I want you to leave here knowing that you're righteous. And the Bible says in Romans 10:10 that you believe in Jesus, and that's when the righteousness comes, because he is the righteous one. That's why he came. That's why he went to the cross for us, is because we are not righteous. Our righteousness before God, on your best day, the Bible says our righteousness before God is as filthy rags. But he said, when you accept my son, because he's the perfect one, he's the perfect sacrifice, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, when you receive my son, I give you this gift of righteousness and I make you righteous. And it's very simple. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. So I want to lead you in this prayer this morning. This is the prayer of salvation. And even for those that know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins, and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, I encourage you, your very next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism, and we can do that next Sunday. If you'd like to do that, just let me know. And that's your next step in following the Lord in righteousness. And did everybody learn something today? Okay. All right. So that's good. I want you to take this home, study the book of Romans, because that revelation comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. All right. I want everybody to stand up. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you this morning. Jada, will you come up here with me? Jada and I are going to speak this blessing over you. Love you guys. Honored to be your pastor today. Love you guys. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, I am righteous in Jesus. Amen.